everybody. New season. So excited to start up Alice in Zombieland. Spending this next 6 weeks, maybe seven, diving into each and every one of the Resident Evil films, specifically the Mila Jovovich films. And to do that, we brought on a wonderful cast of characters, some of them you may know. We have Mr. Graham Ashley Graham Mason.
Hello, that's me.
Yeah, Graham's in your name twice, as always, right?
Yeah. That works really well, actually. Like the
right?
the syllabic, sequencing of it just flows perfectly.
Mm-hmm. That's yep. And that voice right there was Joel Barry Burton DeWitt.
There we go. man, Barry Burton. That needs to be my alter ego here. That's like my secret agent name.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then everyone's favorite chap from England. We have Matt Zombie Dog Dykes.
Oh, great. I'm a fucking dog.
Hey, man, those dogs are fucking terrifying. So.
They are, right? Mm-hmm. Just like Matt.
And that's what I think terrifying. Of Matt.
Taken out very easily.
And that's what I think of Matt.
It's by far the scariest thing in these movies so far. Absolutely.
I don't know. If you can take something out with a frying pan, it ain't that scary.
Just the one, you know.
Yeah.
An exploding kitchen. For the others, and
yeah, that's true.
And she didn't really take it out. She just kind of like moved it to the side.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens to a person who gets hit by a frying pan? The same thing that happens to everything else.
Oh my god.
All right, so I'm really excited to dive into these movies. They're kind of stupid fun in a way that I can't really think of another franchise that really gets there. But before we start diving into it, I want to kind of gauge where the rest of us are. I've seen all of them in theaters. I own all of them on Blu-ray. I am a fan. And even as a fan, there are two of them that I think are just absolute garbage and I hate them, but I still love them because it's still part of this. But am I the only one in that camp? Where is everybody else at?
So I thought I'd seen this one, the first one. I was wrong. Either that or my memory's terrible. I have not seen any of these films. I could have swore that I'd seen the first one, but I think I may have seen the trailer for the first one, and that's about it.
Okay.
So this is like all new to me again.
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Graham, what about you?
So I think I've seen all of them, like you, in theaters. Maybe not the most recent ones, but I, too, am a fan. There, okay. I had the opportunity this time to watch them with my wife, and she's just, like, pulling them apart as we're watching them. I'm like, but they're awesome! But they're so cool! Yes! For the second one, there's a motorcycle through a window, but it totally makes sense! I mean, come on!
Now, does she like it more or less than when she watched Frisky Dingo with you?
Oof, that's tough.
Yeah, because it was always the questionable episodes of Frisky Dingo, wasn't it? It was always the ones that would lead to a divorce.
And the follow-up show that shall not be named.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, oh. She definitely saw both of those episodes, and that was not good.
For context,
I'd say this is better. I'd say this is better.
For context, Joel, episode 2 of the follow-up series is just basically a 10-minute-long rape joke.
Oh, good.
So it's an 11. It's an 11-minute long episode. So 10 minutes of it is a rape joke, and the other 1 minute is racist police violence. So a perfect time to talk about that.
That was a rough watch. So these got to be better really for her. These have to be better for her.
Yes, I'll just say she wasn't a big super fan of the costumes for the ladies. So I'll just say that.
Well, I think that's more of a problem in the second one, so we can save the majority of that for next week. Not this one is perfect, but it is better than the next one.
I just love. I love this one. The convenient shower curtain.
Who laid out this costume for her? Was this her quote husband who was like trying to? They were thinking about doing something.
I'm sure they were thinking about doing something. Yeah,
exactly. But what? What are these boots? What are these booty shorts? Who cut this dress in half? Joel, where's the rest of this dress? Will we ever find the rest of this dress? Is that in the third movie? These are questions we need answers to.
Look, they're just trying to stay true to the original material, okay?
That's what I kept saying.
Were you on these?
So I know I've seen the first one. I have no memory of it. It's probably because I watched it in college and there was probably drinks involved. But
I still think we watched it in high school at some point. I could have sworn we watched it.
I had to have seen this in high school.
Dude, watching movies in your basement is like a fever dream by now. It's just, it all melts together.
I mean, it's like half movie, half Family Guy episodes. Like, that was all we did.
Yes. Yep. And lots of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like high school.
Yeah, yes. that was high school. So there you go. Okay, I get why you wouldn't remember it. personally, like, I remember seeing this movie in theaters. I think I saw it twice. Like, I fucking loved this movie. Yeah. And it is arguably one of the only, like, legitimately, I don't want to say good movies, because, you know, these things have their own version of good. But out of all six movies we're going to talk, I think this is the one that gets closest to, like, what is universally considered a quality film.
Really?
Quality is in heavy quotes there, but
so let's keep it in context of the first few movies here for 1 second. I think in context of that, it does a good job of trying to have structure. It's clearly going for a certain style of movie or a mishmash that kind of melts together well. I don't think it always succeeds in that, but it's trying. It's a good faith attempt.
Yes. That's what I'm getting at. Like, it might not be. I mean, look at the Metacritic score is like a fucking 33. Like, I'm not saying this is the best film ever made. I'm just saying that, like, especially in a world of like dog shit video game movies. Like, even the same director made the fucking Mortal Kombat movie. Like, these aren't great films. But it's
the same director did Alien versus Predator.
Oh my god. But he also did Event Horizon. So it's not like it's all misses.
Mainly misses.
Yeah, I never saw Three Musketeers. That one didn't really look like a winner.
He just produced that, so, I mean, come on.
Didn't he also produce Pompeii? Am I wrong about that? I thought he did. Let's not look it up. I don't need to find out. I don't need to revisit that fucking thing.
Was that just a different version of 2012? Yes, with people running away from lava?
He did produce Pompeii? Fuck. Why do I know so much of this guy's career?
And Death Race 4.
Oof. Ouch, yeah. Why four?
Oh, and Pandora.
He didn't do one, two, and three.
My God.
Oh, boy.
His bread and butter has been the Resident Evil franchise. He didn't do two and three, but he did the rest. He did 1, 4, 5, and 6.
I thought he was still a part of...
I'm not sure if he's anything to do with three, but we'll get there in 2 weeks. He is the writer on next week's movie. He did write number two.
Yeah, and he produced it as well.
Okay, but we'll get to that next week. So let's do a quick rundown of this movie, and then we'll kind of get into the ins and outs of it. So this movie, I'll get us started, and then we'll have somebody else do next week. This movie takes place, there's an office building, and there's a whole bunch of people like, hey, we're going about our day, and oh shit, the building's locked down, and elevators are cutting off heads and whatnot, and turns out there's a virus released, and the countermeasure that this building, which is an underground facility, did, wiped everybody's minds and or, like, locked them in places and let them die. Mila Jovovich and we'll call him bad guy number one, because who the fuck are these character names? They had their memories wiped, and then good guy number one, Matt. I remember Matt, because she says Matt all the time, and he's on our show.
Hello.
But they all get their memories wiped. And Umbrella sends in a team to figure out what the fuck happened and to shut down the Hive. And lo and behold, zombies happened. By trying to shut down the Hive, they open the Hive. Everybody dies. People get their memories back. And they run away on a train while being chased from a monster. Very much like the end of Resident Evil 2, the video game. And they get out. Everything's great. And then, oh no, it's not great. We're getting kidnapped by Umbrella. And what's happening? Matt, no, you're getting taken away.
Sorry, I'm just acting.
Thank you. It really increased the production value, which I appreciate. And then after that, she wakes up in the future and she's naked, wearing a piece of paper. She goes outside and finds out, oh, zombies are everywhere. I need a shotgun and cliffhanger. And that's pretty much everything that happens in the movie, right? More or less.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the executive summary. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. It's an excessive log line, if you will.
I mean, this film was 2000.
Elevator head chop pitch.
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
I would add that this film was just 2000s as fuck, though. Everything was just
God.
That's sort of early 2000s thing. Like, people aggressively pointing their guns and they've overdubbed the sound of it being cocked. Like,
Oh, yeah. Even when it wasn't being cocked.
Yeah.
It was just, it was on screen. Yeah. And it was just cocked.
It's being pointed at something.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of slow motion spinning cameras with like sparks flying down.
My God. That 360 Steadicam conversation that went
zooming.
On for like 2 minutes. That was awesome.
That sound effect whenever the camera's moving quickly as well.
And don't forget the stutter slow mo. Oh, the stutter slow mo. That's not as bad in this one as next week. Next week, they go fucking insane with that. So I'll reserve most of my complaints about it for that one. But it's still definitely here, too. I think Matt put it right. This movie is 2000s as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things
where
it's
got it's got blue tinge to it as well throughout the entire... That's so 2000s as well.
Yeah.
Well, when you're showing a difference in time, you gotta make it blue.
That laser room is straight out of a music video, a rap music video from that time.
Oh my God. One thing I was thinking about with the laser room is like, how much electricity is that thing gotta use? Like, holy crap.
And why doesn't it just go for waffle mode from the get-go?
Well,
it wants to play with them. I mean, it's going at the feet. The guy jumps and goes, ha ha, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then it goes diagonally up. Oh God.
Death is much sweeter when you did them a sense of hope.
I know. That makes sense for like some malicious fucker on the other side of the net, but it's just a computer that's trying to do lockdown to make sure that nobody, releases the T-virus amongst the world. So why not go for waffle mode in the beginning? Why even give them the sense of hope? Why are you enjoying murdering these people, computer?
Because it's evil, creepy kid computer.
British as well, so...
Oh, I thought all British things are evil.
We do the best bad guys. Hello, Alan Rickman.
I mean, he was a pretty good bad guy. Yeah. I feel like you're trying to compare yourself to Alan Rickman, and I don't want to let that slide.
Now I have a machine gun.
Yeah, definitely not letting that one go. Oh boy,
I'm more Alan Rickman than you guys. At least I'm from the same country.
I can't argue with that.
Dang.
That still doesn't make you Alan Rickman.
I was gonna say that makes me like crap. Fail. Some American icon.
That makes me Justin. Ah, fuck. He's Canadian. Brian. Canadian too.
You know what?
That
sad?
Makes me
mind,
Ryan Reynolds. Damn it!
My mind was going to Liam Neeson. It's like, nope.
He's Irish.
That makes me Pierce Brosnan. Damn it!
Clint Eastwood. There's one. We got there eventually.
So how much
good
of
thing
that
we don't
is
run
crap.
Like multiple movie podcasts, or else that would be really embarrassing.
That'd be the worst if we had one of those network things. Anyhow, so what's the general feeling of this? Do we like it?
I enjoyed it. But I was the entire time I'm watching it going, God, this is so bad. But it was one of those. It's not like so bad it's good, because those like the Sharknado films, it's not that level of bad. But there's something about it that's just inherently enjoyable, even though you know that you shouldn't really be enjoying it because it's so fucking cheesy. And yeah, there was just something really that I inherently enjoyed about it, even though in the back of my mind there's this little voice in my brain going, God, this is a terrible film. Why are you enjoying this?
I think even as you kind of said it, it's like even if you hadn't seen it, it's still nostalgic in a way. Like it's so 2000s. Like it's so
it's
like
nostalgic
that era
for all that
of films. It's so like, man, this is exactly this is exactly what I want to watch. Like if you choose this movie to watch, this is exactly what you want from this movie.
Yeah, I kind of feel it's in the same vein as like the Silent Hill movie. It is a good attempt at something. It doesn't hit all the right notes. But it does kind of keep in line with the source material while telling its own kind of story. And it works well in that framework.
Yeah, like I remember when it came out and like talking to a lot of my other gamer friends were like, it's just not the video game. There should have been a mansion the whole time. And I remember just going like, but the first game is kind of stupid. Like, it's fun, but it's campy. And I like that this movie went, okay, well, we want to keep that fun, campy horror thing, but we can't just do the same thing the game did because that would be boring. So they just kind of take the atmosphere and the tone of the video game and do their own thing with it. And, like, for any of you who have listened to Behind the Hype or After the Hype, like, I get on my high horse all the time about, like, book adaptations and how I'd rather somebody just, you know, take the book as source material and make their own movie because if I want to read the book, I'll read the book. And I feel like this movie kind of did that with the game in a way. It's like, okay, so this is what works. Like, we like the liquors, so we'll put liquors in there. We like the zombie dogs. We'll throw some zombie dogs in there. Obviously, we need zombies. Otherwise, we'll just kind of keep the umbrella feel of it. And we'll just kind of, you know, make our own thing with these Lego pieces. And it kind of came out fun. So it still hits the nostalgia factor of Resident Evil and obviously the 2000s. And it's still its own movie. And I kind of wish they were able to keep that magic going throughout the entire franchise. I think they keep it going for a few movies at least. But I think it's really on display the best here in the first like two or three of them.
Well, it's like what I said like way back when I was actually writing articles. When I wrote the article about the video game adaptations, like the idea of you can't just straight up adapt a video game because a video game is, it's not a passive experience. It's, you know, part of the fun of the video game is the fact that you are controlling the narrative. You know, yes, it's a set out narrative that's already been set up, but you have that sort of sense of control over what's happening. Whereas in a film or a TV series, you are very much just a passive observer of events, so you can't ever properly adapt a video game. You can take the core concept and then actually, you know, build on it and turn it into something entertaining to watch passively. And I think that's what they sort of did quite well with this is, you know, you take the core concept and then make it into a film. It's the same argument of books versus films as well. You can't do everything that's in a book. Like Ready Player One, for example, the book is incredibly different to the film. Because if they did the book straight into the film, it would be fucking boring. I mean, how boring would it be to watch someone play a video game?
I mean, that's true. And it would be the most expensive movie ever made if they tried to get all the licenses for the book. Not that they did get time for that movie, but still, like, holy shit.
So what I'm hearing is that the Resident Evil movies should have been a choose-your-own-adventure movie. And on the theater seats, they should have had an A button and a B button. And it just pauses and be like, do you want Alice to go further in the mansion? Or do you want her to pick up the gun and fight the liquor.
You know? Oh, God. Can you imagine that as well? Because you're in there with a lot of people and they just, it's always the same outcome. And they just make people think that other people are just picking the cheaper budget version. Do you want this big, amazing battle or do you want it to do admin for 5 minutes? Admin it is.
Who's voting for admin? Like somebody in the theater so mad. Like, no, we all voted for the other one. Conspiracy.
Or do you want Alice to go into the kitchen and make a pot of coffee?
Yes, let's just choose all the mundane slice of life moments.
Yeah. It's 5 minutes of Milla Jovovich just standing next to a coffee pot like, is it ready yet?
It's just the first 20 minutes of Heavy Rain. That's all it is.
Jason.
Oh, I don't need to relive the first 20 minutes of Heavy Rain ever again in my life. Let's talk a little bit about some of the people in this movie. Like, I know in future episodes of ours, we're going to kind of discuss how much does it actually fit in with the franchise because the connective tissue between these films is rather weak, to say the least. But this one, there's nothing before it. So let's talk a little bit of some of these side characters because I think when we were talking earlier about how this movie manages to be sort of campy and a horror film and all these things, I think having this specific cast who really knew what movie they were in is really what got us there. Because none of them wink at the camera. None of them blink, if you know what I mean. Like, they don't stutter. They are fully committed to their incredibly insane and stupid characters, which I think it's just fantastic. So I'll start with Michelle Rodriguez, because she actually does come back at a certain point. I fucking love Michelle Rodriguez. She's so good at this sort of, like, campy, like, badass role.
Oh, and she plays it up so much in this as well. Everything she does is just badass. You know, like, she could just be, like, scratching an itch, and she'd do it with a badass, like, sort of, like, look on her face.
I love it when she's, like, she's been bit, like, I don't know, 1,000 times, and she's just standing, like, just sitting there with, like, the blood dripping off her hands, like, yeah, eat it, you bitches. It's like, it's like, oh,
it reminded
you're so
me a little
edgy.
Bit.
I bet
of,
you smoke cloves.
it reminded me a little bit of Hudson in Aliens, that where, like, you know, he's getting like dragged down by the aliens. He's going, "Fuck you, fuck you," and it's like, you know, it's that sort of thing of like Michelle Rodriguez just like, "Oh yeah, choke on it," and shit like that.
But I kind of liked it, and that's my chip on the shoulder stuff aside. Like, for a movie where you can hardly remember any of the characters, she was distinct and memorable, and that at least, like, I knew somebody besides Alice in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was great, and then the guy who gets waffled, I thought he was fantastic.
Oh, Captain Exposition.
Yes, Captain Exposition. He was fantastic. Yes.
I have no idea what his character name actually was. Oh, I had to look up on IMDb, and then he didn't even have a name. He's just called One. I was like, nah, Captain Exposition's better. Everything he says is explaining something about the situation they're in, though. It's like, 2 days ago, this happened. 5 hours ago, this happened. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. And he knew stuff. You're like, yeah, your marriage is a fake. Hey, fuck you, guy.
but that's like a fair critique. Your marriage is fake. And the start of the movie in general is that they don't show, they tell.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like one of my pet peeves in movies sometimes is when they don't let the story flow naturally. It gets better later on here, but the start is a rough patch.
Yeah, it's kind of like, that's done well, it's really good. Like, I'm a big fan of John Carpenter films, and I think the opening of Escape from New York is brilliant. It is just narration for like the first, you know, there's like a couple of minutes of narration of setting up the world, but it's done really well because it's done with these really cool little diagram things. Whereas the way they do it in this one, it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's over edited, I think, because everything's like, it's flashing, stuff's flashing around on the screen, and then it's way too much information that they're throwing at you because it's just constant narration, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Like my first bullet point is, so Umbrella is Amazon as well. Like, when they were talking about, like, you know, it's everyone had, they make consumer goods, and everyone, like, what was it, like 9 households out of 10 or something had Umbrella products in them or something. I'm just sat there thinking, so Alexa, basically.
Can we just talk about the branding for just half a second? So I counted at least a few times where, like, the Umbrella Corp information or the logo is just in a completely incomprehensible point. So, number one, Alice's wedding ring inside of it says property of Umbrella Corp.
Oh, honey, you got it engraved. Oh, it's so romantic. I'm now property of Umbrella Corp.
We own you. Number two, at a point where Alice is shooting the gun, they show the shell casing flying in the air.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Back the casing that has the Umbrella Corp logo on it.
Wait, was that in the first or the second one? I thought that was in the second one.
The actual bullet has an Umbrella stamp on the
that's right.
The end
when
of
it goes, yeah.
But
this
the
one, it was
shell
the casing.
Casings,
the
shell casings have the Umbrella stamp on them in this one.
Man, how expensive are those custom bullets? that just seems wasteful.
Seems like a hell of a lot of effort.
Those are the only bullets that exist now in this one. Umbrella Corp owns everything.
Fair.
I had forgotten about the bullet casings. I remember the bullets because those are the ones that go into the motorcycle in the second one, but I'd forgotten about the casings in this one. I also like that at various points her eyes flash the logo.
Yes.
You own your eyes as well.
What, do you want your Umbrella contacts? They're going to look great.
Well, she's the $6 million man at the end of it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
What does that count for inflation? Like, where does $6 million go in today's dollars?
No, it's just, you know, it's the tax man. It's always $6 million. You can't, it's doesn't matter about inflation.
Okay.
The tax man's
just like
the one
minimum
inflation.
Wage. Just like minimum wage. It always stays, it's always $15. It doesn't matter about inflation. It's always, no, less. It's always
$10.
Yeah, it's just the
like
$6 million man nowadays has, like, you know, it's like a wooden leg. And
there you go.
You know,
yeah. I guess I'm not really seeing the $6 million worth of Oh yeah, no, no, no. That not just a leg. It's like a bunch of R&D, admin, health insurance.
And let's be honest, the $6 million is the down payment. Like you still owe more money.
Yeah, gas mileage. I mean, it'll definitely cost you $6 million.
The executive actually over-leveraged the $6 million into like $12 million of debt, and then they're going to sell that debt off to another institution who will then sell it off to another institution, and then it'll cause a whole financial collapse. That's how it goes.
Well, but so Umbrella
yes,
really
right.
is
it
Amazon.
Is just
got
a
it.
Wooden, yeah. It is just a wooden leg. Yeah. For you as the end user, it's literally just a table leg.
So this was before we start moving kind of nearer to the end of this thing, we got to spend a little bit of time talking about Mila because this is her first like real big leading role film. Am I wrong? I need to look up her IMDb, but I'm pretty sure this was her first. Like she was obviously
leading?
The Fifth Element. Yeah, she was obviously the Fifth Element. She was in a bunch of movies when she was younger as a model when she did like Dazed and Confused and that sort of stuff. She's been acting forever, but I thought this was her first major leading role.
I think it's definitely.
Oh, she was Joan of Arc. I forgot about Joan of Arc. Yeah, she did do Joan of Arc. I'd forgotten about that one.
Oh shit!
But yeah,
yeah.
But this was like her first like major franchise. Like this is a Milla Jovovich movie. Here you go. This is her. Like I remember her being like interviewed all the time because I remember people like, so what do you think about like the fan base of this thing? She's like, they don't really intimidate me. It's just a bunch of creepy dudes. Who cares? And it's just like, wow, she's kind of a badass. And I remember, like, that's kind of when I became a fan of her. Like, it was like, obviously, I love The Fifth Element, and she's great in The Fifth Element. But it didn't really feel like that. Like, you're getting to know her as, like, an actor because she was doing just such a strong character in that movie. Whereas this one, it felt like this is more of, like, what she wants to do. Like, this is the actor actually bringing something to the role and doing something with it. And I think she nails far better than anyone else in this franchise that don't blink. You can be campy while being serious. And she just crushes it throughout all six movies. She's the main reason why I can watch all of these.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she is brilliant in it. Like, you know, she carries the film quite well, I think.
Well, I mean, a lot of the characters are just sort of window dressing to her development over time. Because the whole premise of her starting with amnesia creates a blank slate, obviously, with her. And then as they integrate more of her background and flashbacks and stuff, you can see that it informs how her acting proceeds from there, right? Because she puts that into her performance.
Yeah, she really does.
I mean, honestly, she's the only character that I knew the name of throughout as well. Like, the vast majority of them, I just started giving them nicknames because, like, did they say the name? No? Okay. I just, you know... You can be Captain Exposition. You can be Badass Woman.
Same.
Well, like, even going through the credits list, and you're like, yeah, wait, who is that guy? Wait, that guy kind of looks like that other guy. Is he that? No, he's that other guy. What? Who is this? What am I looking? What movie did I just watch?
Yeah, I'm like, wait.
You can be obvious going to be villain.
Yeah, like, you have your curse, your sudden but inevitable betrayal written all over your face.
Yeah. And I love as well, like, he's helping them throughout, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, he gets all his memories back, and just his personality just switches.
Yeah, like, he's just like, oh shit,
like,
I am an
nothing that
asshole.
He's done, nothing that he's done before then matters. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm a bad guy. Okay, fuck you guys.
I mean, and at least he dies like 3 seconds after that. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm the bad guy. I'm on my way to, oh fuck, what's that?
Yeah,
who's biting me?
It's quite a satisfying death as well. Nice and gruesome for him.
And that actually kind of brings me over to my I think what our next major point should be. These movies are at their core horror films. I don't think any of them are scary. I don't think any of them are really trying to be scary. But since they are zombie films, they do kind of like they'd be invited to the horror movie party. They might not be the guest of honor by any stretch, but you know that's kind of where they're at. And with horror movies come kills. And I always like talking horror movie kills. Like, what's the best kill in these things? And I would say throughout the entire franchise, there's at least a good one in every one, if not a couple. There's one later on where somebody gets thrown into a gargantuan fan that I'm always just like, that was a satisfying moment. that's way down the line. Don't get your hopes up too soon. But let's kind of go through it and check, like, what was our favorite kills in this one?
Yeah, like you said, there's a list. There's a bunch of them that I had. I mean, basically just all of Alice's jumping head kicks are just incredible. Yeah. I mean,
her
I
jumping
just
those kicks are...
Those are chef's kiss. Like,
when she's downloaded the kung fu moves from into the Matrix,
I could just watch, you know, a 90-minute, you know, marathon of all of those.
Tune in next week.
I think yeah,
that's next week.
I think
right?
To jump in on the first one, I think at least this is true for the first two. The first kills of each movie are like, that's good. That's a gold one.
Yeah, the lift one was on my list, was number one on my list for quite a while, and then something else knocked it off.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay true to it. The elevator decapitation, oh man,
what I love about the elevator decapitation
is because it lasts so long.
Well, it's the build up as well, for the whole thing, and it's that stupid cliche of like the woman going, "I can squeeze through that tiny gap."
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm stuck. Of fucking course you're gonna get stuck. It's like a foot wide.
You're like, don't do it. Please,
I also love the elevator
lady, don't
fucks
do it.
With her too. Like the elevator's like, I'm gonna slide your head off this way. Never mind, I'm going this way.
And I like, I what I do wish they would have cut back to just for a second, and this may be too much, but I don't know if there is a too much for this movie. Is just cut back to the elevator for a second, right after that, with just her headless corpse. And
well,
the
see,
crowd
I,
of people standing
and
around.
And just one guy, you're like, all right, nobody lose their heads.
Well, I did
so
actually
what do
have
we
a
do
note
with this
on this.
Now?
Like, it felt at times like they were going for a PG-13 because it kept cutting away from the violence. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
There was a few times where there was, like, a lot of... It's, you think, oh, it's going to be gory, but here. And then it just cuts away, and you're like, did they cut it out, or were they trying to go for something, you know, were they aiming for a PG-13, then it was like always going to be an R, so they threw a lot of random violence in? It just felt really
there was a
weird decisions on the editing.
There's a period of time in the 2000s where you if you go back and you watch a lot of the R-rated, quote-unquote, movies of the 2000s, they were trying to make, like, a soft R. Like, a movie that, like, parents could go, like, oh, I guess my kid could watch this. And then the kid gets to be like, I got to see an R-rated movie. And the parent's like, eh, sure you did. This one's definitely playing in those waters.
I was going to say, like, another example of that is, so at the start, Alice, you know, she wakes up in the shower on the ground, and, like, the shower curtain
oh,
is just strategically placed to cover any of her nudity that'd be inappropriate. And then as she's getting dressed with, like, the nightgown on, you know, they don't show anything until she's sighed, and then you can see, like, nipple. that's all you see. That's very early 2000s.
My favorite thing about that whole sequence as well is the way she holds her hand. Like, no human being ever holds their hand when they're getting dressed.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just block out my breasts for these invisible cameras that don't exist.
Well, to be fair, there are cameras all over that house. So maybe she
didn't,
like,
know that. She didn't know
that. All right, best kills. That was Graham's. Matt, what one were you going with? You're thinking.
I'm going with a laser cutting Captain Exposition into small chunks. Just the waffling of that was just.
Yeah.
It was the way that it's that sort of delay where he's standing there and you just see it just let go.
Yep. His eye starts to melt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm going to piggyback off Matt, and I'm right there with you. I totally agree. Best kill of that movie. I was going to try to, like, go individual, but no, I can't. That one's just too good.
That is pretty awesome. I'll agree with that.
Close second would be when the guy tries to jump and the laser goes, nah, I'm fucking with you, and just moves up.
Oh, boy. Joel, what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with, I mean, Graham stole the obvious show stopper with the elevator. But beyond that, I think at the end when the liquor takes out the big bad guy, is it Matt that's the bad guy there?
No,
I forget,
Matt turns into Nemesis, so it's the other one.
Okay.
Bad guy number one.
Yeah, there you go. So he's the guy that, like, escapes. He's going to take the antivirus and skedaddle, right? And then as he's about to take it, the liquor shows up and brutalizes him. And when they come across his corpse, it's just mangled and bloody and disgusting, and it's great.
Yeah. He does that classic bad guy thing of, like, you know, I'm about to get away, and then he hears something and then just stops doing what he's doing and just looks around for 5 minutes as well.
Yes, like, it's a cliche, but that's the thing about this movie. I feel like a lot of the cliche moments work.
And
it working is enough to elevate it.
Oh, 100% agree.
It's like ticking the boxes of 2000s action movie cliches. Like, you know, like I was saying, with just pointing the guns aggressively, it makes the cocking sound. You've got the tech guy, like everyone's going, what's taking so long to the tech guy? And he's just like, you know, the tech guy, he taps the keyboard a few times and says something cool. And, you know, that's him hacking the system.
I also love that Venture Brothers reference. Very 2000s too. He's just typing furiously, and then just like some sort of like console OS with just words popping up about you have reached into this place, you know,
and like geography and like other random things and shapes,
3D
and,
maps,
like, parts of maps,
yeah, 3D maps with like, you know, who, what budget is this? This is not like a standard map. Like some, you've got some 3D, you know, designer here who's made this whole map system for you to like just show this video when you could just have just a map and go, we're going from here to here.
That's just the power of the PlayStation 2.
And so, which means I have to walk down this long hallway and look for a thing that actually looks like a shelf in a drawer and pull open the drawer to find the file. No. If you're on a Mac, you hit Apple spacebar, fine. That's it. Just type what you're trying to look for. Come on.
I would like to touch on the zombies real quick.
Go for it.
You can tell which ones were featured to have their specific attention focused on the camera, and then where they were just background fodder. I swear to God, there were a few zombies that just looks like me when I'm heading into work in business casual. the horrified existentialism of having to work in a corporate structure. He's just embodying that.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean,
like the background
just
kind of have like
who wandered onto set.
Yeah, the background actors just kind of have like a light blue shade put on their face, and it's like, yeah, just kind of walk slow and go ah.
Brains.
No. You don't say words. What? Oh, okay. Ah, perfect. You're good.
You're actually kind of already doing that. So just do more.
To five. 30-minute lunch break.
Extras are over here, sir. No, I'm just going to work. Oh, sorry.
Do you want to make an extra $40?
Or what does my union contract say?
Where's the coffee? What's for lunch?
So for the long listeners from all the way back to Venture Brothers days, at the end of every episode, we like to do favorite quotes or favorite things. And unfortunately, the Resident Evil franchise is not the best written franchise, so I'm going to save us all a little bit of pain and just do favorite Alice moments for this. So that's favorite moments with Alice. If it is a line, that's cool. Go for it. Because she can deliver the hell out of some cheesy dialogue. I'm just not going to try to make everybody pull out some random piece of dialogue when Alice is the star of the show here. So favorite Alice moments throughout this thing is how we're going to wrap it up. Matt, why don't you get us started?
I mean, my favorite Alice moment is the flying kick on the dog. I mean, I felt sorry for the dog, but
it's a zombie dog. Don't feel too bad for it.
Yeah, but I mean, the zombie dogs in the first one just looked like they had a bit of like sandwich meat stuck to the
That's what Chewie said. Chewie's like, I think they just like took Crafty's bacon and slapped it on the dog.
It really looked like that, and I felt really sorry for the dogs because they're probably like, I want to eat this bacon. It's like, I can't get to it though.
And then they get kicked in the head.
Yep. Yeah, and then they get kicked in the head. But yeah, that whole thing, like the slow motion flying spinning kick on the dog, like hitting it in the face and it goes flying. It's just like, that is so cool.
That one's pretty great.
Yeah.
Joel, what about you? Favorite Alice moment?
Well, Matt took mine, but I'll go with another one. I mean, that was the like no brainer one, right? Right. I kind of like the ending sequence where she is like waking up with like plugs all over her and she's trying to like pull them off. And obviously her legs have atrophied from being stuck there too long. And they do the whole like 28 days later thing where she comes awake, goes outside, and clearly everything's a nightmare. And she just grabs that shotgun, cocks the shotgun, and then ends with that as the sort of like setup for the next movie.
Didn't this come out?
My favorite part of that is the Day of the Dead reference.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone picks up on that. The Dead Walk newspaper thing. I loved that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, this came out before 28 Days Later, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's
28 Days Later. I think
yeah,
so, yeah.
This came out 2002, so I think that one came out after. because I don't think they came out when I was in high school. Okay. So, you know, fuck you, 28 Days Later.
Same, yes. 28 Days Later was 2002 as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they just had the same idea at the same time. So,
the same year.
Cool for you guys, I guess. I retract my fuck. No, I don't. Fuck you, 28 Days Later. You're a great movie, and I love you.
Two pieces of high art.
Hey, man, 28 Days Later.
So that's
the
third thing, then, because The Walking Dead comics started the same time as 28 Days Later and has that same opening as well.
Wow, there's something in the water.
I don't know, 28,
maybe they all just like
28 Days Later is great.
Yeah. All three of these things are equally good. So my favorite Alice moment, I'm actually going to piggyback again because Joel just took mine. I love that whole ending. I don't go all the way through like her leaving the building, and I loathe her costume throughout that scene. Like, it's driven me nuts since I was a kid. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, my God.
But Mila sells the shit out of waking up on that table with all those needles inside of her. Like, that scream, I'm like, you can feel that one. Like, she nailed it.
Yeah, I winced.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she was pulling the needles out and everything.
And the one on her head just looks like it's like pulling her skin off her head. It's like, oh, God, this looks rough. And she crushed that. Like, she sold it.
Absolutely.
Well, to think about it now made me shiver a little bit. But then again, it's like, it's reminding me of when I was in hospital and had a drainage tube in. Oh, yeah.
That leaves Graham. Graham, what's your favorite Alice moment?
Well, all of those, but I will also choose another one. I just love I love Alice throughout this whole thing. It's incredible. And I think what I love also is like how they tried to like do the little marriage thing and little quips getting closer to the end of it. Like, I don't know what we had, but it's over. And then like minutes later of I'm missing you already. And then just fucking axe chop to the head. I mean, that was pretty good.
I know it's not an Alice moment, but I have to say, like, there's one sweet line that he says to her. Please, I wouldn't want to shoot you. I might need the bullet.
Oh, that's so good.
Like, that is such a cool line.
Yeah. That was a really good line. That it's such a great bad guy line as well, because it's just so like, I don't want to. You're not worth this bullet.
Mm-hmm.
It's that sort of thing, like, you know, I need this bullet more than I need to kill you, so I'm just gonna leave you.
It's such a good moment. Like, he really nails that. I forget that actor's...
British guys make the best bad
guys. They really do. And that actor, I always forget his name, but he's actually a pretty good actor. Like, he's shown up quite a bit here and there. Like, I remember him playing the prince in A Knight's Tale. Like, he's all over the place. He's a pretty decent character actor, and I think he did a good job in this one, too. He played just, like, the right level, like, douchey bad guy.
Yeah, he's in the second season of Sex Education as well. I don't know if any of you have watched that on Netflix.
James Purefoy.
He plays the main character's dad.
Looked it up.
Yeah, James Purefoy.
Yeah. But he's one of those actors, you see them and you're like, oh, I know him. I've seen him in something before.
Yeah, he's all over the place. So I wish he was a guy that could have gotten come back in other movies, but he really fucking dies in this one. But again, so does Michelle Rodriguez, and she comes back, so who knows? So that's it. We've covered Resident Evil for our penultimate, and that'd be second to last. Our first premiere episode, there it is, of Alice in Wonder or Zombieland. I'm pretty excited about this. Let's do a quick round of plugs, and then we'll say goodbye. And obviously our first plug is tune in next week for fucking Resident Evil 2 Apocalypse. Holy shit.
Is that the tagline?
I mean, that's all I'm going to say. Like, that movie just kind of went, can we turn everything to 11? You can turn most things to 11. Everything else you have to turn down to like 3. Fair enough. And we got Resident Evil Apocalypse.
And then turn logic down to 1.
Yeah. Otherwise, be sure to tune into everything on the ATH network. We just started up this upcoming Thursday. Our first episode of Behind the Hype Sion Sano Month is starting, and we're starting with the movie Tag. If you've never seen Tag, it's available for free on YouTube. It's a part of YouTube's free movies. There's no commercials. There's nothing. You don't even have to have an account. You can just watch it. And it is a fucking phenomenal movie. It has a lot to say about Japanese video games and Japanese women and their role in video games, and how that should probably fucking change because men are awful. And it's just a really, really good movie. And you really kind of – you got to sit through the whole thing to kind of get that message. And it's just phenomenal. Can't can't stress it enough. Check out Tag and then listen to our episode Behind the Hype on Tag and tune in all month for all Sion Sano stuff. It's Sion Sano is a director that if you've never dove into his work before, every one of his movies you turn on will be something you have never seen before. And I know that's true of every movie, but you'll get it when you start watching it. That's it for me. Matt, Graham, anything to plug?
No.
Perfect. Joel, I know you have things to plug.
I sure do. I'm nothing if not plugged. I can be reached at twitter.com/lolmanade. That's L0LM, however else you spell lemonade. Fill in the blanks.
Are you sure this is your name?
If it's not now, it's going to be. I'm also in the podcast party, so I am part of a member of team called Super GG Radio. We're a podcast about video games. We actually try out different betas and early access games to check out new stuff. We talk about our backlog and what we're playing. We come up with little different silly segments, and we also stream on Twitch. That is twitter.com/SuperGGRadio.
Perfect. I've listened to a bunch of their stuff, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It's a really fun show. And you guys have crossed over with Brock from our network before, haven't you?
Sure have. Yeah, he's become a podcast buddy that some of us have gone to his podcast. He's visited us a bit. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
And I like what he's doing too. And thank
you. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Brock's a lot of fun. He started with the ATH Network as the researcher on Venture Brothers.
Oh, okay.
That's how Brock came into the family of podcasting folks. Right? Okay, so...
I mean, that's how I joined.
I mean, I guess, yeah, you did do research for one episode that I didn't share the notes with anyone and just used it for myself to make myself look smarter, because that's how I roll.
Yeah, but the only reason
Still waiting on those notes, Brian.
Oh, that was a good one. So that's it. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This is a lot of fun, and I'm really, really excited to continue down this insane road of the Resident Evil franchise, because... this is about as tame as they get. Some are all... Ooh, they're fun. All right, tune in next week. Resident Evil Apocalypse. Right. I'm so excited for it. Bye.
Bye. Later.